Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
And what better way to make sure that businesses that are led and, of course, participate broadly within the local and global economy are able to create jobs largely for the youth and contribute to the economy? Well, tonight, that's exactly what we're doing with my guest, who joins us as the CEO of BPESA, Business Process Enabling South Africa, to give us some insight into this, really playing a critical role in making sure that we address the unemployment crisis, creating over 14,000, let's say that again, 14,000 new jobs in the first 9 months of 2024. Reshti Singh joins us now for more. Such a pleasure to have you, ma'am.
Good evening, Gugu. Lovely to be here, and good evening to your listeners.
I'm excited to have you with us in studio because, as you've heard, we've really discussed some concerns around the progress in South Africa's economy. But you're an entrepreneur. You've been in the space for some time and have really reaped amazing results and outcomes, which we'll touch on in just a moment. But maybe let's just start on understanding Business Process Enabling South Africa. What is it that you do?
Great. Hopefully I can bring some optimism to the doom and gloom of the day. So BPESA is a national industry association for the global business services and business process outsourcing sectors. A lot of people would identify with them as the call center industry. But this is a call center industry that services the offshore market. So key source markets being the US, the UK, Australia, other parts of Africa, Europe, etc. And it's not just call centers. So that it's any IT-enabled service that can be outsourced and offshored. So you're talking finance and accounting, legal services, creative services, from animation to creative design. It could be absolutely anything. It's just that as the sector's grown, we've seen a lot more interest in voice BPO activity, which is what we all know as contact centers. Gotcha. But this is a sector that actually, it's probably one of the few sectors in South Africa that's focused on youth and creating employment opportunities for youth in the country. So currently, about 86% of the jobs that we would create are focused on youth and predominantly unemployed youth that get that very first chance in the sector.
And that's important because for many of us who know and understand the job market, it's literally just that foot in the door. You know, the first 6 months can translate into a upward trajectory for the remainder of your career because you gather that experience and you gain the exposure, which then capacitates you for further opportunities. Now, you've managed to do amazing work as an industry body, working on key themes to partner with the right corporates, partner with the right markets, and create jobs. And maybe just give us some context around the number of South Africans whom you've been able to employ and the targets that you have in terms of jobs numbers. Given your affiliations with peers?
No, thanks, Gugu. So obviously, my history is that I actually came from the DTIC, the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. So I spent 21 years there.
So you know government policy
very well. And it's obviously in the current position, bringing the best of both worlds to be able to actually show impact when it comes to young South Africans. And I think what's been so phenomenal about what we've been able to do, you know, we've started with prioritizing this initiative and the sector from a government perspective in 2006, 2007. And the growth was, you know, it was at a very slow trajectory year on year. However, since 2018, we've had a 24% year-on-year growth, which has been phenomenal. We actually have supported about 150,000 jobs to date on average, servicing just the offshore market. So this excludes all of the domestic contact center work.
Oh, wow.
So
it's
just offshore work.
150,000.
But what's more interesting is that between government and industry, we have signed a master plan for the sector. And the aspiration is to create 500,000 jobs by 2030.
Yes.
So that is what we're working with basically collaborating between ourselves and governments in terms of how do we create an enabling environment to be able to grow and to be able to actually bring 350,000 additional jobs to South Africa.
That's huge. And I think this is so important because, as we know, at least the target is there. There's progress in terms of the policies that have been put in place. And if I'm not mistaken, you've also worked with affiliated industries like Harambe, Youth Employment Accelerator, and a few other partners to actually make this possible. Help us just contextualize within where we are now, how you've deepened some of the relationships that you have to make sure that we can get to that target of 500,000 jobs in 2030. And maybe from there, we could talk about the harsh reality of the uncertainty that remains, especially with some of our global peers.
Yeah, so I think the success that we've enjoyed thus far has been because of public-private partnerships. So the
yes.
power of public-private partnerships, when government and industry can come together and co-create, you know, these environments for us to grow. So obviously, you know, I transitioned from government into the private sector, representing the private sector, obviously armed with a master plan mm-hmm. to create 500,000 jobs, and also partnering with the presidency, with the Presidential Youth Employment Initiative, as well as the SAYouth.mobi, where you have more than 4 million unemployed people that register sure. on this data-free platform. Mm. And as corporate South Africa, you can actually access talent from that platform. And what's quite sad is that not many corporates actually utilize that, because the key link here is that you've got to be able to have access to those that are actually looking for the jobs. And sometimes I think people don't understand that there's a cost associated with finding a job. And if I remember some of the stats from recent months, you almost need about close to 1,000 rand a month just to be able to go and find a job. Jeez. In terms of taxi fee fares and, you know, getting internet access, being able to print
network.
CVs, data, you know, if you added all
Even
of that up.
Nice shirt or
exactly.
jacket, I guess. Yeah.
Exactly. So we obviously collaborate with key partners to make sure that we make it easy for somebody that's unemployed to be able to have access to opportunities that the sector presents. And like I said, you know, I mean, in terms of education in South Africa, not many students can make it to tertiary, not just because of, you know, numbers, but because of affordability. Not everybody can afford it. So, you know, you can't have them economically inactive. And so we create pathways and platforms to transition young people from learning into earning opportunities. So we'll give them sort of a work readiness program.
Gotcha.
And then that work readiness program sets them up for an actual job. And we partner obviously with, you know, funders, mm-hmm. training providers, and then employers.
If I may
so
ask, what does this work readiness program actually entail? Because so often we are always hear about the debate that, well, academia is not doing enough to train future employees for the workplace, and the workplace says that they spend a lot of time getting employees ready for the workplace. The work readiness program, what does it entail?
Yeah, so it's basic computer skills, making sure that, you know, you are computer literate and you're able to work with digital devices.
Yes.
That you are able to understand a business environment, and, you know, there's softer skills around etiquette and those kind of things. Then there's customer service, which is extremely important, because at the end of the day, you are serving a customer.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, you are serving an international customer. So there's some cultural affinity that goes with that as well. And then once you actually transition into the job, then there's, you know, a client-specific training that is provided to you. So, for example, if you're servicing Amazon, then you'd be trained on Amazon's services and products, etc., so
yes.
that you're able to serve. So it's actually quite an intense. The work readiness program could be anything from a 3-week up to a 12-week program, just based on your proficiency to be able to get into that environment.
Got you. I love it because these are the small details that we take for granted, hey? How people interact within professional environments, and it's behaviors that do need to be, I guess, incorporated and developed early on in terms of one's career. Given that you have a background from the DTIC, I think it is imperative for us just to reflect on the key markets that actually are affiliated with your organization,
BePesa.
Thank you for that correction and assistance in pronunciation. And I think this is important because what it also does show us is that South Africa is still a hub to partner, attract international partners and provide services to them. Hence, we actually see that many of these entities are happy to outsource their services to a market like South Africa. So which countries typically are the biggest markets that we serve? What kind of growth prospects are there? And of course, how are we managing some of the concerns from a global geopolitical environment?
So our key source markets, Gogo, is actually UK is the largest. Mm-hmm. So about 57% of the work that we do currently serves the UK market, and that's because of cultural affinity, time zone differentials, etc.
Makes sense.
And then we actually, an interesting stat is that we've grown from, in 2019, we probably serviced only about 1% of the US. Today, as I sit here, we service 33% is actually the U.S. market. So we've grown significantly post-COVID. Mm-hmm. I think there was a massive interest in Africa and the mm-hmm. opportunities that Africa presents. And predominantly, I mean, South Africa being a more mature location in comparison to the rest of Africa. And then, so it's predominantly English-speaking source markets. Australia, Probably about 4 to 5%, and then the rest is the rest of Europe. The problem with Europe, obviously, is language barriers. So, as much as we can do languages, but we can't do it at scale. English is what we're good at, so we do that at scale. And yes, geopolitical issues are huge on our radar at the moment, so we're watching that quite closely, just to make sure that it does not impact the work that we've already done and the global positioning, and most importantly, not putting at risk what we've already achieved in terms of that 33% that I've spoken about. And obviously, having a 500,000 target, you know, we would love to shift, you know, that to at least 40. I think from a BePesa perspective, we're looking at targeting at least 40% in the next 2 years for the US. So that growth of an additional 7% is very key for us. So making sure that we keep abreast of what's going on. But I feel quite confident about the fact that, you know, we will navigate these challenges, just like South Africa is resilient and navigates many other challenges. We will get through this.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. Yes, we are resilient. We just feel like the soccer player who's still playing, you know, for extra time. But we're tired, but we will do it. We'll score the goal as well. I find this so important because what you're highlighting is the role, function, and importance of BePesa, and most importantly, the companies that are affiliated with your organization. Creating jobs, making sure it's sustainable, providing youth, largely in South Africa, with just that foot in the door to make sure that they get by. And I can imagine there might be many South Africans who are listening right now and sitting back and thinking, how do I get in touch with BePesa? But what they need to do is to get in touch with your affiliates in order to make sure that they can get a job or pursue an opportunity, as you've mentioned. For someone who's listening right now and is thinking to themselves, I'd like a foot in the door, I'd like to be counted as one of those youth who by 2030 will have a job, help us understand how, through getting in touch with your affiliates or your organization or other way means, that they can too be incorporated in the progress we desire.
So first and foremost, anyone that's listening that's unemployed and wants to get into the sector, please go and register on sayouth.mobi. Like, yes, I said, it's a data-free platform.
Even if you're not youth, right?
Well, it is predominantly for youth up until 35 years of age.
Perfect.
But obviously, if there are people, and like I said, we do prioritize youth, so there's a minimum of 80% youth. So there's definitely opportunities for older people as well. And they're most welcome to get through to BePesa on our website, which is bepesa.org.za. And we'll be able to connect them with our member base, and try and get them through some of these programs. So BePesa actually provides an intermediary role in terms of, like I said, accessing funding to be able to scale these individuals and have them placed into jobs. Mm-hmm. So there is a network which we could easily get them in touch with.
100%. And I think as we close this conversation, it's important for us just to underscore and emphasize our competitive advantage yet again. Yes, there's so much at play that does perhaps, you know, bring about a heightened level of confusion and anxiety and noise. But the reason why we're actually able to be competitive is, as you've mentioned, our location, our language, and the fact that we have shown that when we adequately capacitate our youth with the necessary skill, they can work for multinational organizations, right?
Definitely. So just for the listeners, I think it's very important. Like I said, I'm here with a ray of optimism amongst yes. all the doom and gloom. Just remember that South Africa's impact in action, that's what our revised value proposition is when we are marketing into the offshore space. And impact meaning basically we have great infrastructure and a great enabling environment for business. We are a mature industry, and value-driven growth is what we're looking for. People prowess, which is extremely important. The world loves South Africans. If you listen to these young people speak to people in those source markets, they thoroughly enjoy speaking to these young people. They speak about sport, about weather, about just about everything. Assured service excellence, cost arbitrage and business advantage.
Yeah.
And then there's the tactical advantage. So that's impact. And that's, I think, what South Africa has to offer to the world.
I love it. Oh, the silver lining in the cloud, right? Definitely. This is why we like speaking to you, Reshni. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. We really look forward to hearing more insight from you in the months to come. And hopefully after all the international buzz around geopolitics has died down, just to see where we are in terms of our targets and the number of lives that you've been able to change through the work creation, job creation opportunities that are present.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Gugu. Lovely to be on your show.
Thank you. That's my guest this evening, Reshni Singh, the CEO of BePesa, Business Processing Enabling South Africa. And as you've heard, there are many, many peers across the world who enjoy the service delivery that we as South Africans actually offer them. Next time they call a call center, perhaps have the accounting and finances outsourced, even creative opportunities, they largely produce by South Africans, creating jobs for us to work on a global market with multinationals and all whilst being based here in South Africa. So fundamentally, of course, some great opportunities. Yes, there might be some concerns from a global perspective, but in true South African style, it's nothing we can't handle.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.